Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, the 11th of May, Pope Leo XIV prays for peace in Gaza, Ukraine, and in India and Pakistan. We look at the situation in some of these areas close to the new pontiff's heart, and the Pope calls for prayers for vocations to the priesthood and consecrated life. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. At midday today, Pope Leo XIV led his first recitation of the Regina Coeli prayer. Some 100,000 Romans and pilgrims had gathered to hear him speak from a window overlooking St. Peter's Square. After leading the prayer in Latin, the Pope appealed for peace worldwide, calling for ceasefires in Ukraine, Gaza and on the India-Pakistan border. Joseph Tollock has more.
Today, Pope Leo XIV appeared at the window of St. Peter's Basilica to give his first ever Regina Coeli address. Speaking to the around 100,000 faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square, as well as countless others following from around the world, he echoed his predecessor Pope Francis's cry for peace. Leo recalled firstly the immense tragedy of the Second World War, which came to an end 80 years ago on the 8th of May, after causing around 60 million deaths. The Pope then turned to the wars plaguing the world today.
Porto nel mio cuore le sofferenze dell'amato popolo ucraino. Si faccia il possibile.
I carry in my heart the suffering of the beloved Ukrainian people, he said, urging that every effort be made to reach a true, just and lasting peace as soon as possible. May all prisoners be freed and may the children be returned to their families, he said. Pope Leo then appealed for an immediate end to the ongoing humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip. I am deeply pained by what is happening, he said. Let the fighting cease immediately. Let humanitarian aid be provided to the exhausted civilian population and may all hostages be released. Pope Leo XIV then welcomed the recent announcement of a ceasefire between India and Pakistan.
Ho accolto invece con soddisfazione l'annuncio del cessate il fuoco tra India e Pakistan.
I hope that through the upcoming negotiations, a lasting agreement may soon be reached, he said. Finally, Pope Leo entrusted his heartfelt appeal to Mary, Queen of Peace, so that, he said, she might present it to the Lord Jesus and obtain for us the miracle of peace. I'm Joseph Tollock.
So as we just heard from Joseph, the people of the Gaza Strip, who are suffering an immense humanitarian catastrophe, were at the forefront of Pope Leo XIV's appeal for peace on Sunday. In Gaza, UN agencies still operating in the war-torn enclave have reiterated their concern over Israel's plan to assume control of the aid operation. Nathan Morley reports.
One of the main concerns for United Nations humanitarians is that Gaza's most vulnerable won't be able to get to the small handful of aid hubs that are to be based exclusively in the south of the Strip. Health authorities in Gaza say thousands of children and pregnant women have been left without access to medical care, which is deepening the crisis even further. Many children are surviving on just one incomplete meal a day, with limited access to clean drinking water and proper nutrition due to Israeli strikes on infrastructure and the denial of aid. Israel halted the entry of goods and supplies to Gaza on March the 2nd, following the end of the first phase of the January ceasefire agreement with Hamas. The second phase had yet to materialize as negotiations remained stalled. Earlier this month, the United Nations warned that the humanitarian situation had reached catastrophic levels. The agency said that as the complete blockade of essential supplies continued, urgent international action was needed to prevent the crisis from escalating even further. It also reiterated its call for a ceasefire. Meanwhile, the Hamas-run media office said Israel continued to block the entry of baby formula, nutritional supplements and humanitarian aid, leaving more than 70,000 children hospitalized due to severe malnutrition. It added that more than 3,500 children under the age of five were at imminent risk of death from starvation. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Ukraine was also at the heart of the Pope's appeal, as sadly the humanitarian situation there too continues to deteriorate. In latest news and in a show of solidarity, European leaders travelled to Kiev on Saturday to discuss pathways towards peace between Ukraine and Russia and to honour fallen soldiers. Their visit came a day after Russia marked the anniversary of the Soviet Union's victory over Nazi Germany. Staffan Bos reports.
British and European Union leaders converged in Kiev for a symbolic visit to pay respect to the fallen soldiers. More than a million people are believed to have been killed and injured since Russia launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February 2022.
We observe a moment of silence.
British Prime Minister Keir Starmer, French President Emmanuel Macron, recently elected German Chancellor Friedrich Merz and Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk placed votive candles at the National Memorial of Remembrance at Kiev's Independence Square. They were accompanied by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and First Lady Olena Zelenska, whose nation has faced a devastating war that wiped out generations. The European leaders' trip to Kiev was in response to Russian President Vladimir Putin hosting allies in a Victory Day parade on Red Square in Moscow on Friday to remember the 80th anniversary of the Soviet Union's victory over Nazi Germany. In a statement, they said that we, the leaders of France, Germany, Poland and the United Kingdom, will stand in Kiev in solidarity with Ukraine against what they called Russia's barbaric and illegal full-scale invasion. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Also during his appeals on Sunday, Pope Leo looked to the recently agreed-on ceasefire between India and Pakistan, describing it as a sign of hope. Although the ceasefire is, in fact, boding well, as Eduardo Giribaldi reports, it is still incredibly fragile, and experts say the two countries must dialogue further to strengthen the truce in place.
India and Pakistan have agreed to an unexpected ceasefire following a rapid escalation in military tensions that raised international concern. The crisis began on April 22, when a terrorist attack in Indian-administered Kashmir killed 25 tourists, most of them Indian. India blamed the attack on a Pakistani-based group, though it has not presented evidence publicly. In response, on May 7, India launched Operation Sindoor, an airstrike targeting what it described as terrorist bases on Pakistani soil. The attack lasted 25 minutes and hit 10 locations. Pakistan condemned the strikes, calling them unjustified and claiming that around 30 civilians were killed. Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif said the country had been forced into conflict without proof of wrongdoing. Both sides report missile exchanges and damage to aircraft, with unconfirmed reports of Indian Rafale jets being downed. The level of military activity was the most intense since the 1999 Kargil War. Although nuclear weapons were not mentioned, the presence of such arsenal added urgency to international calls for de-escalation. Despite early violations of the ceasefire, likely due to differing interpretations of its scope, the agreement has brought a pause to hostilities. However, it does not address the underlying cause of conflict, the disputed Kashmir region, which both nations claim in full. The situation remains fragile. While the ceasefire has been welcomed, observers warn that without dialogue and trust building, the risk of renewed violence remains high. I am Eduardo Giribaldi.
As we heard, the Pope did not forget that 80 years ago, on the 8th of May, the Second World War came to an end in Europe. He recalled that 60 million people lost their lives in that horrific conflict. 80 years on, the transmission of Holocaust memory faces new challenges as the last survivors pass away. At a recent event held at the Pontifical Gregorian University entitled Preserving Memory, the Shoah at the Crossroad of Generations, Suzanne Brown Fleming of the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum spoke about ongoing efforts to ensure that memory endures. Among them is the Vatican Archives Initiative, which studies 16 million pages of documents opened by Pope Francis in 2020. Suzanne Brown Fleming spoke to Vatican Radio's Eugenio Morali.
The Vatican Archives Initiative is something that the Holocaust Museum, together with our partners at Yad Vashem, conceived of when His Holiness opened the archives in 2020. Because in those 16 million pages, there are real treasures about the Holocaust and the relationship between the Holocaust and the Church and Christians across Europe. And it's one of the last, it was one of the last great, largest closed Holocaust-related archives in the world. So when these pages opened for the field that we are working in, it was very, very exciting. So the initiative is to come to Rome and survey and study in the different Vatican archives and also other archives not specifically linked to the Vatican, like the Jesuit archive or the Santa Maria dell'Anima archives, to see what parts of these 16 million new pages are important for the missions of the Holocaust Museum. So we've been doing this for 5 years. It's been really amazing. It will, I think, change our understanding about the Holocaust in a number of ways. I think for one thing, the whole discussion and debate about the Holocaust has been centered around the person of Pius XII. And what we're seeing in these archives is how much of the decision-making and actions of ordinary Catholics all across Europe, and even nuncios, priests, bishops, having no necessary contact with the Pope, were also making a lot of very important decisions and actions that impacted the way Jews experienced the Holocaust in Europe.
That was Suzanne Brown Fleming of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. Early on Sunday morning, Pope Leo XIV visited the Vatican grottos to celebrate Holy Mass at the altar near the tomb of St. Peter. According to a statement by the Holy See Press Office, the Mass was concelebrated by the Prior General of the Order of St. Augustine. And then following the Mass, the Pope spent time in silent prayer at the tombs of his predecessors, and he paused before the niche of the Paglia, the woolen stoles that symbolize unity between the Pope and Metropolitan Archbishops across the world. And finally, just before leading the recitation of the Regina Caeli on Good Shepherd Sunday, Pope Leo XIV called for prayers for vocations to the priesthood and consecrated life, saying that they should be done by also living in service to one another so we can walk in love and truth on our life journey. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
Cari fratelli e sorelle, buona domenica!
Recalling that today marks Good Shepherd Sunday, Pope Leo XIV described it as a gift from God that he can celebrate on this, the first Sunday of his service as Bishop of Rome, when the Gospel reading tells us about Jesus who reveals himself as the true shepherd who knows and loves his sheep and gives his life for them. Today also marks the World Day of Prayer for Vocations and the final day of the Jubilee Pilgrimage of members of bands and popular entertainment. Pope Leo greeted all with affection and thanked them for their music and performances that enliven the Feast of Christ the Good Shepherd, the one who guides the Church with his Holy Spirit. Pope Leo then expressed his joy in being able to pray together with all the people of God for vocations, especially to the priesthood and consecrated life. He said the Church has a great need for them, as it does of all of us who support them on their vocational journey, so they can find acceptance, listening, and encouragement in their communities.
E ai giovani dico non abbiate paura.
And addressing young people in particular regarding vocations, Pope Leo encouraged them by saying, "Do not be afraid. Accept the invitation of the Church and of Christ the Lord." In conclusion, he said, "May the Virgin Mary, whose entire life was a response to the Lord's call, always accompany us in following Jesus." I'm Thaddeus Jones.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Many thanks today go to Alberto Giovannetti, our sound engineer in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.